Well, if you have little ones, we have some clipboards right at the back, right by the door. And those clipboards have some activities and stuff on there for kids. It is sometimes needed just to give them something to do during the message. But they're good little lessons in there as well. So if you have children, you're welcome to jump back there and grab one of those little clipboards for them. Well, this morning, the message is entitled, Winning Against Anxiety. So we have a little deal up here behind us. And so just in case you came to church without any worries, any anxiety, I thought I'd better give you some examples of what you should be worrying about. So we have a few things. What to wear? Anybody worry about what to wear this morning? I missed out on the blue shirt thing that the worship team was going with, but I wasn't totally worried about it till I got here and saw that they were all dressed in blue, and I wasn't. And so, things. Sometimes we worry about things, don't we? What is that next thing that either we have to do or the next thing that we're looking for or we're desiring? We have those things. Tomorrow. We worry about tomorrow. We worry about life. We worry about clothes. We worry about what to wear. You can see right above worry, it says grass. And we worry about our prime minister and the legalizing of grass. And so we worry about some of that stuff, don't we? We worry about what we're drinking. Are you drinking low calorie or are you drinking high calorie? We worry about flowers. Did you get those flowers for your wife? Or did you just go, she'll be all right without some? You know, that sometimes is a little bit, we worry about trouble. We worry about the body. We worry about what we're going to have for lunch. That's why there's a free lunch afterwards. You don't even have to worry. Unless you're worried about your cholesterol. Then you can worry about that as you eat that hamburger. So we have lots of things to worry about, don't we? There's lots of things that worry us, that cause anxiety. Someone said that people live their lives crucified between two thieves. And these thieves are the regrets of yesterday and the anxieties of tomorrow. Isn't that true? Regrets of yesterday. Oh, I wish I would have. And the anxieties of tomorrow. Oh, what's coming? And we kind of live in between those two things. Those words have a ring of truth in it, don't they? We often find ourselves tied up in knots over those things of yesterday, the worries of tomorrow, and it's likely more of a common occurrence than we might like to admit. We tend to be anxious. And although some anxiousness is normal and it's good, it's even healthy, constantly living in a state of anxiousness or constantly living with the worries of the world on our shoulders is not healthy. If we tend to take our worries to bed with us, if we wake up with our worries right there on the tip of our tongue, right there on our mind, if we carry those worries around with us all day, this is not how God wants us to live. This is not how God wants us to live. Worry causes us to work against ourselves, and it hinders our relationship with God. That's why he tells us, do not worry. That's why his word, and we're going to look into that today, that's why his word gives us encouragement. Because otherwise, when we're burdened with worry, we end up working against ourselves. And we work against our relationship with God. So the good news is that the Lord can settle our hearts in such a way that we can live with the stresses of life and still experience his peace and his joy. And that's what we're going to take a look at a little bit this morning. How to win against anxiety. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, thank you that you understand exactly how we are created. You know, Lord, how our mind works, how we are prone to wander into those places of worry. And Lord, we sometimes stay there way too long. And Father, thank you that because you know that you also give us a remedy. And Lord, as we look into your word today, Father, may our eyes and our hearts and even our those worries that we have. May that come to light in through your perspective of how we should approach those things in our lives so that we don't have to carry that burden of worry, that burden of anxiety unreasonably, and instead we would be able to live with joy and peace and fulfillment. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, the definition of worry means to be torn in two. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us some key causes and some key remedies when it comes to being torn in two, or when it comes to anxieties in our life. And if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'm going to invite you to open them to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to encourage you, if you have a pen, pencil, to be able to mark that up in your Bible, underline some words as the Spirit brings those to say this is applying to you. Underline that word. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. And we're going to read that together, and then I'm going to break it apart a little bit through the message this morning. But we read, and this is Jesus speaking. And he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not your life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow was thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." That's a long passage that Jesus took the time to share with his disciples. And no doubt they had some of the worries that we just talked about, some of the worries that we worry about as well. And he speaks in the Sermon on the Mount, he speaks to anxiety. He speaks to worry. This isn't something new. You know, we sometimes hear statistics that say, "Well, this is new now for this generation. There's way more worrying than there ever was in the past." And this is looking at this passage of Scripture. I don't know that that's true. Jesus has taken out a specific block here, and this is only one place in the Word. But he says, this is for that anxiety. This is because anxiety, anxiousness is all around. This is prevalent in Jesus' day. It was prevalent then, and it is just as prevalent now. So Jesus took the time to speak to it. And he speaks to giving in to worry. And so why do we give in to worry? Why is it that sometimes in our life, we give in to worry? Sometimes it's, and maybe it's on a regular basis, we're giving in to worry. Well, the Lord also speaks to that in the Scriptures. So sometimes problems can overwhelm us. That's why we give in to worry, isn't it? Sometimes problems can overwhelm us so that we feel incapable of doing anything about them, and then we worry about it. But Jesus says for us in verse 26, he says this. He says, "Look at the birds." Verse 26, "Look at the birds." Well, when we're worrying, we're not really paying attention to the wildlife. We're fixated. We have something we're worrying about. And Jesus says, "Look at the birds. They seem so small and insignificant in the world, yet God takes upon himself the responsibility to feed them. We never see birds planting or seeding or harvesting crops. They don't do that, do they? Even in the dead of winter, you ever looked out and seen a little bird in the dead of winter? It's cold as all get out there. They have these little tiny peg legs underneath them. And you think, man, if I was out there with no pants on, I'd be frozen right to half to death. That's incredible that those little guys can walk around in shorts all winter long. They don't even need to clothe their legs. So in the dead of winter, and even in some of the most violent of storms, we had a storm just a little while back. It unfortunately brought the hail. And I specifically was watching the birds. Where do they go in the storms? What do birds do? I don't have an answer for it. That's a rhetorical question. But it seems that birds seem to survive storms, and they even fly around. Like they were darting here and there as the storm was whipping up and the wind tossing everything around. They seemed to know where they were going. If God cares so much for even these little birds, then I think we can take this to ourselves as well. We can be certain that he will be faithful to meet our needs as well, even when, and especially when, the problems of life press in. Why do we worry? Problems tend to overwhelm us. What does Jesus say? He says, I even take care of the birds. Don't worry. I can take care of you as well. Well, secondly, we worry. Another reason we worry, Jesus tells us, is because we want to be in control of things. Anybody a self-proclaimed control freak? There's one. Oh, there we go. There's some more honesty happening out there. Self-proclaimed control freak. Well, it's not all that bad. We need control freaks to keep things in order, so good on you. But we worry sometimes because we don't have things in control, and if we're used to having things in control, when they get out of our control, then we begin to worry, don't we? In verse 27, Jesus says this, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? All of that worry, all of that fret about being in control of those different things, has it added a single hour to your life? And the answer is no. Worrying about the radio or fretting about the news on TV, wondering about jobs, wondering about all of these different things, there's a normal anxiety and that we can have, a normal concern about life and the world and all of those things. But then there's a point where it becomes anxiety. As soon as we turn TV on, we just get tense. If that's you, then the Lord is speaking to you. My dad, he used to watch Hockey Night in Canada. He watched it for years. And then I noticed he wasn't watching it for a little span in his life. He took a break from Hockey Night in Canada. And I later found out that he was so anxious about how they were playing, like, and that he just shut it off. He just goes, you know what, I'm just not going to put that in my life right now. I don't need to be anxious about hockey teams. Right? I don't need to be anxious about it. He just turned it off. He still enjoyed hockey. He'd watch it every now and again. But he found he was just getting too anxious. So he just went click. He turned it off. Worry doesn't add anything to us except ulcers. So Jesus reminds us that many situations are in fact beyond our ability to have control over. And these are words that just go against the grain with people that want to be in control. That there's actually situations beyond our ability to have control over. There's things that are not in our hands. So whenever we encounter circumstances that we can't change, the only wise option then is to turn them over to the one who can handle them, and that's God. Taking this one step farther, when we try to control these circumstances, we are really demonstrating unbelief. And we end up needlessly multiplying our anxiety. You ever notice that? You really, really, really want something to go in a certain direction, and if it doesn't, or if you don't have control, or if that team actually does win, and it's out of your control, you have all of this built-up anxiety, and we're needlessly multiplying what is normal. We're needlessly multiplying that, so now we've got this massive amount of anxiety. Sometimes like the singer says, we just have to say, Jesus, will you take the wheel? Jesus, will you just, I can't do this one. I got to give this over to you. I got to give my worry and my desire to be in control and my desire to have it work out my way, I have to give that to you. And I have to trust that you've got it under control already. See, that's one of the things when we want to have control, we sometimes fight against God being in control. And so sometimes being that person who wants to be in control of absolutely everything, have it all worked out just thus and so, we fight even against God. So the Lord tells us, you can't add a single hour to your lifespan. Leave it to me. Give that over to me. We can be in control of some things, but there are some things that are absolutely out of control. They need to be given to God. Well, thirdly, we worry because we encounter struggle in life. Verse 28 reads like this, "And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" You know, when I read that passage, there's such tenderness of what Jesus is saying. There's such tenderness. It's a words of rebuke to us. It's a correction to us, but it's done with such love and compassion. If you just were to take that passage and read it through a few times, Jesus isn't saying that these people have no faith and they've been doing everything wrong. He just simply says, there's another way. There's another way. Instead of being worried about all the struggle we encounter in life, there's another way. We don't have to be anxious about, and then we can fill in the blank. There's another way for us to go. One of the key sources of anxiety is that we're not going to be able to provide for ourselves and that our needs won't be met. And in fact, that's what drives most of us to get up in the morning and to go to work and to do things. It's because we want to do these things. We want to provide for our families or for ourselves. We want to be productive in society. And one of the anxieties, one of the sources of anxieties is that we won't be able to meet those needs or have those needs met. Sometimes the situation may even look like the Lord has let us down. That things aren't working out, that where is God? And sometimes people come to that spot where they rail against God and they say, God, don't you see what I'm going through? Don't you know what I'm going through? And they rail against him. So sometimes it looks like the Lord is letting us down, but in reality, he's supplying a need that we may not know that we even have. Some of the greatest learning from the Lord comes through times of struggle, doesn't it? If you were to think back in your life, when is the best lessons that you learned? Was it when everything was just going just fine, you're clean sailing, there was no issues in life? Did you learn very much in there? Probably not. We probably just enjoyed it. That was kind of the blessing part in life. But sometimes the learning part of life comes through the struggles rather than in those times of plenty. Think about this. The greatest lessons we learn are often associated with hardship, strife, struggle, pain, suffering. That's where some of the biggest lessons that we're going to have are going to come from. And the key in all of this is to trust, to hold fast to our faith in Christ through the storms of life. If we hold fast to the Lord through these storms of life, he will see us through. That's why we cling to him. So the Lord encourages us, don't get caught up in the worry of the world. Don't get caught up in the worry of provisions. Yes, it's good to be a productive member in society, for sure. Yes, it's good to have a purpose and a direction. But we can also say, Lord, in these times when all that stuff is maybe tossed upside down and I don't know which way is up, we can say, Lord, I need to trust you. And guess what his words back to us are? And that's what the passage tells us. Why are you anxious about, and then you fill in the blank. Why are you anxious about that? Because I have got this. We sing that little song with little kids. He's got the whole world in his hands. And then when it comes to us, we really don't believe it. That's just for kids, right? He's got the whole world in his hand. Does he or doesn't he? Absolutely. So if he's got the whole world in his hands, then it means we are in his hands. We are in his hands. We can trust him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is what Jesus says to us. The Old Testament, we find the words, I will never leave you or forsake you. That is a promise of God to his people, and that's to us. So if he promises never to leave us or forsake us, he promises that if we are weary, we can come to him, then why are we worried about the struggles in life? He is going to work his plan through all of those. We are going to learn the lessons along the way. We're going to glean. We're going to grow. And sometimes it's going to take a bit of struggle, a bit of pain. But if we trust that God has got this, we can face those struggles. If we trust that God has got this, we're in his hands. He's in charge. He knows how he is going to bring himself glory. Remember, we talked about that the other week, the glory of the Lord. And how we are created to bring him glory, to shine the light of him into the world. And in doing so, we bring him praise, we bring him glory. It pleases him. And likewise, when we trust him and we say, Lord, I know you're never going to leave me or forsake me. Whatever this deal works out like, I know you're never going to leave me or forsake me. I know that when I'm weary, I can find rest in you. And we take that as a confidence in the Lord and we keep on walking, or pick up our chins and keep on walking. Well, fourthly, we worry because we get distracted. Verse 32 and 33 tells us where our focus should be. For the Gentiles, or the pagans, depending on what version you have, for the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. We worry sometimes because we're looking in the wrong direction in life. We worry sometimes because we get distracted by things in the world and we lose sight of who God is. We lose sight that God has us, that he can handle it, that he's got this, that we are in his hands. We lose sight of that. A friend of mine, not from here, some time back, came to me with complaints of all kinds. And it was kind of the complaints just like the board back here before. He was worried about this. He was angry about that. He was disappointed in this. And it didn't seem like there was a little cap on that well. You know, if you shake a bottle of Coke and you take the cap off, it just keeps on coming out and out and out. And if you try to put it back on, it just sprays everywhere. It's a big mess. That's sort of like what he was having, a moment he was having. And so he began to just pour out complaint and anxiety, so I was listening to this, and finally there is a point too where you go, I got to stop this mess. This is just messy, and there is no resolution. And in fact, he was just getting more and more angry as he went. And I said, stop. I said, you can't unload all this stuff on me. And I said, these things. Because he was just mad about everything. And I just said, stop. It's not right. It's not right. You've got to stop complaining. You've got to stop with all of this blaming that you're doing. Everybody else is the problem. You've got to stop with bringing everything down around you. And I said to him, you just need to go out and serve someone. You need to go out, jump back in your truck, and go and serve someone. Well, he was mad. Maybe because I stopped him from complaining, blaming people. And anyway, so he jumped in his truck. He takes off. I talked to him a couple days later, caught him at the coffee shop, and he goes, "Thanks," he said. He said, "I was in a wrong space." And he said he went up to one of the widows that we had at that time, and she was working on the farm, and she was gardening, and so he just went up and he helped her in the garden, and he did some stuff. She was always gracious, so she made him coffee and made him a snack, and so he just sat and he visited and he helped and he served, and then when he came to talk to me afterwards, he goes, "Thanks." He says, that's what I needed. I was focused on the wrong stuff. I was focused on all the wrong stuff, and I lost sight of where I was going. We worry in life because we get distracted. And that's why the Word tells us where to turn our eyes. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added unto you. Don't get distracted and fret over what the world is doing or what someone else is doing wrong. Don't worry about all of those things that are outside of your control that you're fretting over. You're putting your nose into all this other business. You are a Christian. So seek after what God wants, not what the world wants. And that's where blessing is found. The best cure for a bad case of being grumpy is to get out and serve someone else. The best way to solve being grumpy is to get out and serve someone else. And dollars to donuts, it's going to work every single time if you turn your eyes to what the Lord has in mind as opposed to what you have in mind. Well, let's bring this home. Our passage ends with these words of encouragement in verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. My challenge to you this morning, church, is what would a day look like if you woke up in the morning and instead of being anxious about your responsibilities and commitments or the situation of the world or condition of the crops and the amount or lack of or too much rain, weather, sunshine, all these things. What if we woke up in the morning and we said this to the Lord? Lord, here's my day. Lord, here is my schedule. Here are the duties or responsibilities I have in it. Help me to go through this day with a peace and joy as you work things out for your glory. Could we actually say that? What if we trusted that God was in control of life, not us? What if we looked for God's hand in the midst of whatever struggle we are going through? What if we served the Lord? What if we loved the Lord and loved those that the Lord loves? So go and serve others. What if we did that and brought glory to God despite our circumstances, whether it be good or bad or whatever our circumstances were? What if we did those things that the Lord tells us in this passage? What if we actually lived them out? What kind of a difference would that make in your life? I'm going to hazard to say it would make a massive difference in your life. It's not easy, but it is possible. Winning against anxiety is not easy, but it is possible when we firmly trust that we are secure in the Lord's hands. No matter what may come, we put our trust firmly in Him. Let's pray. Father, thanks that Your Word gives us such a loving rebuke to sometimes the way that we get sometimes in our lives, worried about too many things, over-concerned about things that aren't our business, over-concerned about things that are out of our control. Father, you tell us that You are in control, that you have all of this in the palm of Your hand. You hold us in the palm of Your hand. You know how we are wired. And graciously, Lord, through Your Word that we have looked at today, you rebuke us and You call us to a life that says, Lord, You are in control. Let me just be a blessing. Father, what a simplistic way to look at life. What an easy way to look at life. And Lord, thank You that when we do that, when we say, Lord, You go before me, You prepare the way, I'm going to trust You with these things that I can't control. I can't get into line. I'm going to trust You with everything. When we live a life like that, Lord, it brings you glory. So, Father, have us glorify you with our lives by putting our trust and all of our worries on your shoulders and letting you work out all the details. We pray these things in your name.